Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, February 17, 2021. Pupils in Jonglei, Upper Nile and Warap states sit for examinations.
The Ministry of General Education and Instruction, National Examination Council and the SPLM-IO leadership have finally resolved the critical challenges that obstructed the conduct of the P8 examination.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Teachers and pupils in some parts of Jonglei, Upper Nile and Warap states have welcomed a decision to allow students in the area to write this year's primary living examinations. Last week, the Minister for General Education, Awud Deng Achuil, said nearly 1,000 students from Jonglei, Upper Nile and Warap states would miss this year's primary living examination because of insecurity. The minister later announced a new date for students in the affected areas to write their exams. For VOA News, ONN, Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Early last week, South Sudan's General Education Minister, Awud Deng Achuil, said security officials in the SPLM-IO control parts of Jonglei and Upper Nile states denied education ministry staff from accessing those areas. On Thursday, 3 days into the exams, Minister Deng, who also runs the National Examination Council, announced new dates for students who were not able to write the exams.
The Ministry of General Education and Instruction, National Examination Council, and the SPLM-IO leadership have finally resolved the critical challenges that obstructed the conduct of the P8 examination in 6 locations this week. I therefore take this opportunity to inform the candidates, parents, and the general public that we transported examination consignment to the said location this morning, and the administration of examination begins on Monday, 15th February 2021, and ends by Friday, 19th February 2021.
17-year-old Martha Buck, a pupil at Rumaboth Primary School, is one of the 154 candidates sitting for examinations at Center 3 in Tonch East County of Warap State. Martha says she and many other students were upset when the government prevented them from taking their exams last week.
We thought we should not do it for another exam. But since the exam has been brought, so my happiness was relieved, but not that much because I'm still doing the exam. Then I said for this year, I'm happy. Secondly, the first paper I'm set for, it is just simple as the first one. So I thought mine could be different from the first one.
16-year-old Mathiang Majak, a pupil of Makwach Primary School, is a candidate sitting for examinations in Center 3 in Tonch East County. Majak says when the education minister announced students at his school would miss national exams, he and other students felt they were being denied their rights.
Some people are out there suffering from hunger, and now they don't have food to eat. Again, now we are suffering because we have been rich for so long, and now they renew our exam. That one is chaining us. So we are the same to other people.
Moses Deng is the head teacher of Rumaboth Primary School in Tonch East, Warap State, which has 34 registered candidates. Deng says he and other teachers sympathize with pupils. He says after missing the exams last week, some students felt demoralized.
Some of them said that they were not ready to sit for an examination again, but the examiners said, no, this work is national work, and if you boycott it, then it is not good. You need to sit for this exam. Feel free, you do it, and the exam is going to be marked. The result will also be included in the exam that was had last week.
Deng says the security situation in and around the school is good, and students should successfully complete the examinations by Friday this week.
The area is being controlled by the Galweng youth. They're just staying where there is rumors or suspect maybe this area might be having some intruders. So these are the people which are now providing the area with good security. But at the school, we have police. These police are the ones protecting us from outsiders.
Bien Duom is head teacher at Akobo Primary School in Akobo County, Jonglei State, where 59 candidates are sitting for the primary leaving examinations in Center 013. Duom says he feels the country is now divided into two, the SPLM-IO and the government-controlled areas. He alleges that the Education Ministry sent separate examinations for SPLM-IO control areas and government-controlled areas. That charge could not be independently verified. Duom says he hopes the formation of a new government will soon unify the South Sudanese people.
South Sudan is already divided into two now. That is a big problem or the big challenge in our country. So if the Somalian government is already from the minister or the first vice president was appointed only one, and all the ministers will be there, plus a commissioner, plus state members and governors, there will be issues in South Sudan. There will be no division of the country.
The UN Children Agency, UNICEF, said in a statement released on Monday that it successfully delivered exam papers for 1,732 pupils from the capital Juba to 30 different centers in Akobo, Ayot, Nirol, Nashir, Longeshuk, Tonch East, Jaiboro, GH, Lankien, Old and New Fangak states. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
A former soccer federation chief and a member of a parliament pleaded not guilty Tuesday in a crime against humanity charges stemming from the Central African Republic civil war, which erupted almost a decade ago. Taking place at the International Criminal Court in Netherlands, the first global trial on these events comes as fresh violence tears through the Central African Republic, as Lisa Bryan reports from Paris.
Ngaisona is also criminally responsible for the crimes against humanity of 1. Murder. Oh, four.
The charges facing Central Africans Patrice Edouard Ngaisona and Alfred Yekatom include murder, torture, mutilation, rape, and the use of child soldiers. Both are accused of being key members of the country's mostly Christian anti-Balaka militias, which revolted against Muslim Seleka rebels who seized power in 2013.
Mr. Ngaisona, I ask you the same question. I trust that you understand the nature of the charges brought against you. Is this correct?
Wearing dark suits and mandatory coronavirus face masks during their first day of trial at the ICC, both men pleaded not guilty. But prosecution lawyer Kweku van der Pooy offered a different take.
The victims of the Central African Republic conflict deserve to be seen, they deserve to be heard, and they deserve their day in court. Justice must prevail. And the evidence in this case will establish the individual criminal responsibility of Patrice Edouard Ngaisona and Alfred Yekatom for crimes against humanity and war crimes in violation of Articles 7 and 8 of the Rome Statute.
Ngaisona was the country's one-time sports minister and later headed its soccer association. His other alleged job as a leader of the anti-Balaka movement. He was arrested in France in 2018. Yekatom, a member of parliament, is accused of commanding the militias on the ground. He also was arrested the same year. Human Rights Watch's Associate International Justice Director Elise Kepler calls this trial a milestone and says more must take place targeting all sides of the conflict.
We're in a situation right now where impunity has been a constant challenge for the Central African Republic. Almost no perpetrators have ever been held to account for crimes, cycles of grave crimes committed in the country. And we see the effects of that in fueling further violence.
The trial comes as the CAR faces an upsurge in fighting involving some of the same actors as a decade ago. That starts with former President François Bozizé, whom the anti-Balaka supported and whom the Seleka rebels ousted from power in 2013. The current fighting erupted after Bozizé was barred from running in December's presidential election. The CAR's protracted violence has uprooted hundreds of thousands of people with many seeking refuge in neighboring countries. Even as he built his case against the two defendants, lawyer Vanderpoy said the trial was not an indictment of one or the other side of the conflict. There was enough tragedy, he said, for both to bear blame. Last month, the first Seleka rebel arrested also was handed to the ICC. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, health experts move to control the spread of Ebola. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is most special about you?
I don't like disappointing people because of my actions. The way it pained me when somebody has disappointed me, I think about the same pain that I will cause to someone whom I have disappointed.
I'm someone who is very friendly, and I can interact with different people without considering their conditions and their status.
One thing special about me: I love the way God has created me, and I love being myself. I don't need to disguise myself like somebody, or I don't need to put myself pretend like someone. I appreciate the way God has created me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is the message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The World Health Organization and other aid agencies are moving quickly to try to gain control over a new outbreak of deadly Ebola virus in Guinea. Guinea is one of the three countries that was affected by the 2014 West African outbreak, the largest in history. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The outbreak in Guinea was detected February 14th, just 1 week after a new outbreak of Ebola was identified in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The two outbreaks are unrelated, but the World Health Organization says both face similar challenges and both can benefit from new treatments and recent experiences. The WHO reports 7 family members who attended a burial ceremony in the town of Gweke, Guinea, were infected with the virus, and 3 have since died. WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris says 115 contacts have been identified, and the majority have been traced.
Confidence with the experience and expertise built during the previous outbreaks that the health teams in Guinea are on the move to quickly trace the path of the virus and curb further infections, but it certainly will be a big job. And WHO is supporting the Guinean authorities to set up testing, contact tracing, treatment structures, and to bring the overall response to full speed.
Harris says WHO offices in surrounding countries have been contacted and preparedness plans are being put in place. The 2014 West African Ebola outbreak began in Guinea and quickly spread to neighboring Sierra Leone and Liberia. By the time the epidemic ended in 2016, 28,000 people had been infected with the disease and more than 11,000 had died. Harris says many lessons have been learned from previous outbreaks to keep the virus from spreading. She says it is important to have a strategic response plan, get it into action early, and to coordinate all aspects of the operation.
What is critical is decentralizing the operations to the lowest level, making sure your operations are where the community are, and that the community owns the operations, that your work is community-centered, and that you work with the community. A one-size-fits-all approach to community engagement isn't effective.
Turning to the other Ebola outbreak, the World Health Organization has confirmed 4 cases, including 2 deaths in the city of Butembo in DRC's North Kivu province. The WHO reports nearly 300 contacts have been identified and tracing is underway. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on Ebola, the Democratic Republic of Congo recently announced a resurgence of cases of Ebola in the country after its 11th outbreak ended 3 months ago. For more, viewers, Leno Mudu spoke with Dr. Senga Ngoa, Program Manager for Emergency Response at the World Health Organization Regional Office for Africa.
What we know for this outbreak is that in DRC first, so we are now counting about 4 cases detected in the province of North Kivu. And what we know is that all those cases are actually linked to the case, to the previous Ebola outbreak. So this is, that's why we are saying this is a resurgence. This is not a new outbreak in DRC. For Guinea, they have now recorded about 7 cases in Guinea, but obviously this is not related, but the investigation is still going. This is not related to the outbreak we had 5 years ago, but this is apparently a new outbreak in Guinea.
When we're dealing with a resurgence versus a new outbreak, are there some difference in strategies?
You are absolutely right. I mean, that's a very good question. So operationally, what we are intending to do in both cases is to stop the spread of Ebola as quickly as possible, to bring what we call, technically, to bring the outbreak under control. That's what we're doing now. So the measure to achieve that objective, they are the same. We need to win over the community to work with us and to be part of the response, and to abide by what we call public health measures, including at all cost avoid getting in touch with body fluid of person who's sick or who has contracted Ebola. And obviously the other measure, including, thankfully now we have a vaccine, include vaccination of those contact, of the person who have been in contact with the sick person. And of course we need to track, I mean, contact, to follow the contact. Any person who has been in contact with a sick person to be followed at least for 21 days and make sure that if she or he falls sick, it doesn't transmit to the next person. So in terms of approach and strategy, there are not much difference, but at least it's very important to know which situation are we dealing with. Because, for instance, we know that the vaccine that we're using in DRC is effective in one space of Ebola. So knowing that it's the same space is very important. You can confidently vaccinate people knowing that they will be protected against that space of Ebola, and it will contribute to bring the outbreak as quickly as possible under control.
Looking at the COVID-19 outbreak, what are we looking at in terms of priorities?
I think public health-wise, there's no choosing between the two. They're all priorities. We need to deal with Ebola at the same time as we are dealing with the COVID-19. Obviously, as you can imagine, this is a challenge for the country. This is a challenge for our region, but we need to deal with this disease. But one hope, I can put it that way, one strength is for this region and for these countries, these are the outbreak they are kind of used to dealing with. So they have the capacity, they have the know-how, they have the institutional memory. So we are going to tap into that.
That's Dr. Sengango, Program Manager for Emergency Response at the World Health Organization's Regional Office for Africa in Brazzaville. He was speaking with my colleague, Linod Mudu. From Brazzaville, we move to the state of Victoria in Australia, where the Australian state of Victoria enters its third day of a snap COVID lockdown. The National Medical Association is calling for urgent changes to infection control in hotel quarantine. Australian travelers returning from overseas must go into isolation for at least 14 days on arrival. But doctors are worried that the airborne transmission of the virus is not being taken seriously enough. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Biosecurity is a growing concern for Australia's hotel quarantine system after new and highly contagious variants of COVID-19 were detected among returned travellers. A five-day lockdown imposed in Victoria State Friday was in response to a cluster of infections at a hotel at Melbourne Airport. Infections were passed from passengers to staff, allowing the virus to spread into the community. The lockdown was ordered to give contact tracers enough time to track known associates of those who've tested positive to the virus. Doctors, however, believe that ventilation and personal protective equipment for hotel workers needs to be urgently reviewed. Chris Moy, the Federal Vice President of the Australian Medical Association, says biosecurity controls need to be tightened.
Quarantine is our first and most important line of defence. There have been holes punched in it, particularly with these new strains. It's not just droplet spread, which is the big droplets, which, you know, you can just cough out. It just stays quite local, to this airborne spread where essentially COVID can be taken up as a mist and stay in the air and therefore be far more infectious for a long period of time.
Victoria is in its third coronavirus lockdown since the pandemic began. More citizens are being allowed to return to New South Wales, Australia's most populous state, from Monday. But the Victorian government has suggested that repatriation flights be heavily restricted to curb the spread of new virus variants. State Premier Daniel Andrews said Australia had to have a cold, hard discussion about reducing international arrivals. His comments have caused anger and dismay among thousands of Australians stranded overseas. Foreign nationals were banned from Australia last March, but citizens and permanent residents can return. They face mandatory quarantine on arrival, and weekly quotas are limiting the number of travellers allowed home. The government in Canberra has also announced it will stop quarantine-free travel for New Zealanders, after three COVID-19 cases were recorded in Auckland, which has been placed into a snap three-day lockdown. Australia's first shipment of the Pfizer vaccine has arrived, but federal authorities have conceded that its distribution across such a vast country won't be a flawless exercise. A mass inoculation program is due to begin by the end of the month. Australia has recorded just under 29,000 coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. Across the Tasman Sea, New Zealand has detected about 2,200 infections. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
We love to hear what you think about this show. Send us your short comments on issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Mama Land Sudan by Emmanuel Lasso. Been listening to Emmanuel Lasso with the song Mama Land Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.